Good morning. Today's Daven Erev and Study Test 99. We're here in the 10th final parak of the Masechta. Despite the fact that the majority of this parak, this Masechta has been dedicated to the topic of Erevin, Erev Chumim, Erev Chatzeros, nevertheless, this final parak over here really takes us back to Otzah, which obviously lays the groundwork for Erevin, but nevertheless, really, it's a parak in Otzah. And does it belong here in Erevin? So the answer, of course, is yes, because it's here. But in terms of its placement, so it is a little bit strange. And we already quoted the Tosfos a couple of times. Tosfos in the beginning of the parak noted that really this is a Shabbos parak over here. And Hach Pirka b'Masecha Shabbos Havel Lemisne. Tosfos says really this belonged back in Masecha Shabbos, but for reasons that are somewhat connected, this parak comes up over here. Various scenarios over here about Hotza'ah come up in this parak, and we're going to continue with a number of scenarios, and we're just going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday with the new Mishnah on the bottom of Tzariches Amud Beis. The mission begins. Omid adam b'rishus ha'yachanim metalta b'rishus ha'rabim. A person could be standing in rishus ha'yachanim and move an item in rishus ha'rabim. So presumably, what we're describing over here is that you're while standing in the rishus ha'yachin, so you just simply move your arm out and you're moving an item in the rishus ha'rabim. You're not making a transfer. You're just simply moving an item from one point to another point in the rishus ha'rabim. Or conversely, the Mishnah says, Bereshus HaRabim, Metal to Bereshus HaYachid. You could also move an item while standing in the Bereshus HaRabim in a Bereshus HaYachid. Again, same idea, just the mirror image, where you're not transferring an item from one Bereshus to another Bereshus. You're just moving an item while standing in one Bereshus. You're moving the item in the other Bereshus. Not into, but in the other Bereshus. So all this is fine of Avash Lo Yossi Chutz Me'arba'amos. However, what you can't do is you can't be Motzi Chutz Arba'amos, you can't move it more than four amos. Meaning, presumably this is going back on the first case of the Mishnah, which means to say that while you're in the Rishus Yachin and you're manipulating an item in a Rishus Arabim, so don't move it more than Dal Amos. Once you move it more than Dal Amos, so then of course it is, that's Mavir Dal Amos Rishus Arabim. Next case in the Mishnah, Lo Yamar Adam Rishus Yachin V'yashim Rishus Arabim. Don't stand in a Rishus Yachin and urinate into a Rishus Arabim and Rishus Arabim V'yashim Rishus Yachin. The converse also is going to be prohibited as well. Now, what if you do? So the Gemara is going to discuss that. V'chein lo yarok, and also the same thing with spitting, with expectorating. So you can't do it from one rishus into another. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, af mishinit lashroko b'fiv lo yalech arba amos ashi yarok. So Rabbi Yehuda has a chiddush, which is that once the spit collects in your mouth, so at that point in time, so you can't walk four amos until you spit it out. In other words, because once the spit now is collected in your mouth, meaning saliva, collected in your mouth. Now, we'll describe it more in detail, in graphic detail later this morning, but we'll describe it in more detail later on. But nevertheless, the idea is that once the saliva now is collected in your mouth, that's now considered a foreign object. You're carrying the foreign object, and as a result of that, that would be a violation of Hotza'a. If you're transferring from one to another, or walking for Amos and Rishus Rabim, so that's being Mavid Amos, Rishus Rabim. Good. So, and we're going to come back to those cases a little bit in just a little bit. In the meantime, however, we're going to go back to the first case of the Mishnah and analyze the first cases of the Mishnah. So you're standing in one Rishus, manipulating an item in another Rishus, and the Mishnah says that's fine. So Masni Lev Rav Chanina Bar Shamaya Lichia Bar Rav Kamei Derav. So the following was taught, meaning the Mishnah when was taught over from one Amor to another in front of Rav. And one of the participants in this was the son of Rav. So lo yamod adam b'rishus yachlim metal to b'rishus harabim. So here in this version of their Mishnah, we'll put that quote, Mishnah, the word Mishnah in quotes. But in other words, they had a brice, or maybe it's their version of the Mishnah. So theirs opened up with the words lo yamod adam b'rishus yachin umetal to b'rishus harabim. Now that is the exact opposite of we learned in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we learned that you're allowed to stand in one rishus and manipulate an item in another rishus. And here in this version, lo yamod adam b'rishus yachin metal to b'rishus harabim, so you're not allowed to do that. Amalei, shavakta rabban v'avatak ha-rameir, so Rav's response to that, when he hears that, he says, ooh, that's a rameir shita. That's not a chachamim shita, meaning that our Mishnah over here subscribes to the chachamim, and what you're quoting is a shita of rameir. Now, the question, of course, begs, who's rameir in this context? Meaning, we didn't see a rameir in our Mishnah, so what's it making reference to? So you take a look at the bottom Rashi over here. So Rashi says, "Va'avana tika Rav Meir de'ihu hu de'gazar." So it's Rav Meir who makes a gzera, meaning he's unhappy with this whole idea that you're standing in one rishus, manipulating an item, moving an item in another rishus, because As you can imagine, maybe the Chachamim are concerned. Meaning the Chachamim are concerned. That's not the question. Did the Chachamim make a gzeira? And so, according to Rabbi Meir, the Chachamim did make a gzeira. This is one of the gzeiras of Rabbi Meir. I'm reading Rashi. Shema Yavi Etzlo, because once you're holding the item in your hand, and even though your intention is only to move the item in the other Rishos, but of course, once the item is in your hand, there's a very good possibility that you're going to bring the item into your Rishos. Now, how do I know that Reb Meir subscribes to such a viewpoint? Where do we see it? So Rashi quotes a Mishnah that we're going to see a couple days from now in Kuf Aleph. Lo yamad bereshus yachid v'yavtech bereshus harabim, shiito maftech bereshus harabim v'yavtech bo pesach. Basically, the cases we're going to see in just a couple days from now is that you're in one Rishus, the key's in another Rishus. You're handling the key in the other Rishus. Reb Meir does not allow you to do so. So, okay, so the Mishnah later on projects that, we're projecting to the Mishnah later on that Reb Meir does not allow you to be standing in one Rishus, manipulating him in another Rishus. So, Shemiyachnis, that's all, but Malcolm Shu, because the problem, of course, is that you may bring the key to where you currently are. Good. So that's Rashi citing a Mishnah later on. And now we go back to the Gemara, and we understand that Rav's criticism over here is that Reb Meir is Choshesh. But that's not the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim don't agree. And clearly, our Mishnah over here is perfectly comfortable with the idea of a person standing in one Rishus, manipulating them in another Rishus. And the Shita of our Mishnah over here and the Shita of the Chachamim is that there is no such Gezerah. So the Gemara, the Gemara's response is, who's Savar? Now he's of the position that he over here presumably means whoever taught this Mishnah, right? It was Rav Chinna Bar Shamaya. So who's Savar? Midasef Rav Meir, Reisha Nami Rav Meir. So he thought, okay, so you have a Mishnah coming up in just a couple days from now in Kuf Aleph. That Mishnah is going like Rav Meir. Our Mishnah is also going like Rav Meir. Now, of course, in order to make our Mishnah like Rav Meir, so you have to change the Nusach of our Mishnah. You have to change the Girsa of our Mishnah. Meaning our Mishnah, the way it reads, is it's allowed. It's mutter. And so if you want to say that our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir, so then you're going to have to rewrite the Mishnah of Lo Yamod. Okay, Evelohi. And the Gemara says, no, I just simply reject. Sefer Reb Meir Reish Rabbanan. No, that Mishnah later on is going like Reb Meir. Our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, and the Chachamim are fine with it. So in other words, keep the Girsa of our Mishnah as it stands. Uvavashalo Yotzi Chutz. The Mishnah says that what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to move a night in Dal Amos. Now Ho Hotzi Chayev Chatas. So okay, and what if you do? Okay, so again, let's paint the picture. You're standing in a Rishus Yachid, and you're moving an item in a Rishus Rabim. The Mishnah says that's fine, but don't move the item more than 4 Amos, because once you do, so then you're going to be Mavir Damas Rishus Rabim. Now, the Gemara over here says, and if you do, you're going to be Chayav Karban Chatos. The Mishnah did not say what is going to be the ramifications, the consequences of doing so, but what we're learning now together is that if you do, you're going to be Chayav Karban Chatos. Now, the Gemara says, Lema Misaila L'Rava. Now, this would seem to be a support for Rava. Da'amar Rava. Now, we saw this statement a number of times b'shem Rava, including yesterday's daf. Da'amar Rava ha'mavir chefetz mitchilas arba l'sofar arba ve'heviro derech alav chayev. A person transfers an item. Dal amos b'rishos rabim. In other words, and he moves it over his body, meaning he takes his arm and extends it over his body. Right? I'm going to say it over like Rashi. And he moves it over his body, which means by definition is that he's taking the item and he's moving it from, is the starting point is Rishus Rabim. The end point is going to be Rishus Rabim, but because he moves it over his body, so that means that the item now is going to spend a little bit of time in a Makam Patur. Remember that a Rishus Rabim only goes up 10 Tfachim. The halachic ceiling of a Rishus Rabim is only 10 Tfachim high. So obviously you take an average height person, doesn't even have to be average height person. And once he takes the item and brings it over his head, so now the item now is going through a Makam Patur. And meanwhile, the halach is he's going to be chayiv, right? That is being mavir dal amos b'rishus harabim. And such an individual is going to be chayiv. And so too over here, he's going to be chayiv as well. Now, how are these cases comparable? So the way Rashi presents it is that when you're standing in the Rishus Yachid and you're moving an item in a Rishus harabim, so Rashi describes over here that basically the same thing. You're picking it up and you are bringing it higher than 10 tefachim. So it's going to make some of the travel in this Makam Patur area. But nevertheless, the assumption is that our Mishnah Chayev Chatas, just like Rava over here says that when a person carries an item over his head, he's going to be Chayev. And this is how these cases are comparable. All this is the way Rashi presents the Gemara. And so what we now have is our Mishnah supporting that of Rava. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Now the Mishnah does not say that if you do it, you're chayv a karmel chatas. Now, the way you could read our Mishnah is don't do it, and if you do it, so then it would be an issa de rabbanan. Okay, that's the way you could read our Mishnah. Now, you don't have to read it that way, but since you could read it that way, our Mishnah no longer serves as a basis, as a proof for the Shita of Rava. Igadami, now in a slightly different version of this discussion, same discussion, just variations in terms of how we start and how we conclude. Ha-hotzi potar val aser. So we're going to start off by assuming that what our Mishnah means is that while standing in the Rosh Hashanah Yachid and I move an item in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and again, the assumption over here is that I pick it up higher than 10 tefachim, now it's on a makam patur, move it across 4 amos, put it back down again. So the way to understand our Mishnah is that don't do it, and if you do it, patur aval aser. Now again, the Mishnah doesn't say what the consequences are, but right now in the second version, the assumption is it's an issur derabbanan. So lema tavit yufta de Rava. Now, if that assumption is correct, so now it's going to be a challenge to Rava. Da'amar Rava amavi mitchila dala sof dala ve'evi derech alav chayev. So Rava says that if I pick an item over my head and put it down for Amma, so a person is going to be chayev. So miketani otzi patra v'laser, delmi im otzi chayev chata. So the Gemara says, okay, but the assumption is that our Mishnah, the consequences of violating our Mishnah would be that it would be an issur derabbanan. But again, it's not written in the Mishnah. And you could just as easily say that the consequences would be that it would be an issur d'oraisa, and it would be a chiyuv chatzos, and then it would be a support for Rava. Okay, so the back and forth in the Gemara in terms of whether or not our Mishnah proves Rava, the conclusion is pretty straightforward, and that our Mishnah could be read in one of two ways. Our Mishnah could be understood to mean that when I pick an item up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim and pick it up over 10 tefachim, move it across and put it back down again. So our Mishnah certainly says that's usur. It's just that the level of issur is not clear in the Mishnah. Either it's an issur derabbanan or it's an issur deraisa. Rava obviously would read the Mishnah that it would be an issur deraisa, consistent with his position of picking an item and passing it over his own head. Okay. All this, by the way, as I said a couple times, is like Rashi. Tosos does not learn the Gemara the way we just presented it. But for our purposes for the daf, we'll just leave it off presenting it like Rashi. Lo yamar adam rishus yachid v'chulei. Okay, we're up to the second half of the Mishnah, and now we're talking about urinating and expectorating from one rishus to another, and our Mishnah says that it is categorically aser. Once again, the Mishnah does not talk about the level of the aser. I'm Rav Yosef. Hishtin virak chayv chata. So Rav Yosef says that in both of these circumstances, person standing in one rishus, urinating into another rishus, so such an individual would be chayv chata. It is an iser daraisa of the malacha of hotzah. Now the Gemara says, okay, v'abe inen akir v'nacha me'agabe makom dalet v'leka. So the Gemara says, okay, but you need makom dalet. Remember, that's one of the rules that we established well at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, right? The first sugya of Masechta Shabbos was a hotzah sugya. And there the Gemara spent a lot of time trying to figure out, right, taking an item, the first Mishnah Shabbos, taking an item and putting it into the hand of the Ani, or the Ani putting it into the hand of the Balabais. So in all those circumstances, a hand is an area that is less than makam dalad al dalad. In order to have an akir, in order to have an acha, it has to be a makam dalad al dalad. And so over there, so the Gemara spent a little bit of time struggling how to understand that. The Gemara's conclusion is going to be very similar to our conclusion over here. Meaning the Gemara also says over here, same thing, that it's not a makam dalad al dalad. When a person is urinating or expectorating, it's not coming from a makam dalad al dalad. So therefore, it shouldn't qualify as a formal akira. Meaning, what the Gemara is asking right now is that, obviously, the Mishnah says it's aser. We're not here to argue with the ruling of the Mishnah. It's just the degree of iser that the Gemara here is trying to understand. Because Rav Yosef tells us that's an iser daraisa. Okay, so iser daraisa, so you have to go with all the criteria of what an iser daraisa would be by hotzah. And one of the criteria, one of the prerequisites, is it has to be a makam dal al dal. You don't have that over here. So the Gemara says, okay, so machshavasa meshavi le makam. So this is an idea similar to what we saw in the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, and that is that, look, as far as you're concerned, it is significant. And so since it's significant, machshavasa meshavi le makam. So therefore, it makes the makam now a significant area. Now, it could be talking about both the place it came from and the place that it landed on too. In either of those circumstances, so it would be considered a makom chashuva. Much like the Gemara said back to the beginning of Masechta Shabbos, like the yad is a makom chashuva. And this is a significant area. So a significant area, so it doesn't have to be makom dalad dalad. Makom dalad dalad is just talking about such an insignificant item, so that the only thing that lends its significance is going to be that it has to be a makom dalad dalad. Here you're talking about it. There you're talking about a hand. Here you're talking about a mouth or an evra zachar. So over here, it's a significant area. Machshavasa mishavile makom. And therefore, it's going to be considered a formal akira, formal anacha. Dilotema achi, continuing in the Gemara. Gemara says, you know you have to say this. Because hadam rav azarek v'nach b'pi kelavo b'pi akivshan chayiv chatos. Because this also we said back over in Masechet Shabbos. And we get to review it again here in Erevin. I throw an item and it lands into the mouth of the dog or pi akivshan or lands in a furnace. So chayiv chatos, such an individual would be chayiv. Now v'habi inan hanacha agabe makum dal v'leka. Now the mouth of the dog is not a makum dalad. And meanwhile, chayiv chatos, how does that work? So it's because, as far as you're concerned, you wanted the item to land in the mouth of the dog. The mouth of the dog now is going to be given significance because of your machshava. Same thing over here. Good. So that's the idea that once an area becomes significant to you, so it is now going to be considered a makom chashuva for akira. It'll be considered a makom chashuva for hanacha as well. By Rava. So Rava now asks the following question. So over here, one of those detailed questions in the Gemara, and that is that you're standing in the Rishus HaYachid, and meanwhile your Eivor Zachar, or the end of your Eivor Zachar, is in the Rishus HaRabim. So Mahu. And you urinated into the Rishus HaRabim. So Basar Akira Azlina, Basar Yetziya Azlina. So over here now, super technical discussion regarding where are we looking at in terms of the point of departure. So are we looking at your guf, meaning that the urine is really starting in your guf, right? It's in the bladder, which is now currently in the Rosh HaYachid. Or do we look at the pi ama? Do we look at the end of the Eivor Zachar? Under those circumstances, that currently is in the Rosh HaRabim, and thereby you didn't make a transfer from Rosh HaYachid to Rosh HaRabim. Take with leave, the Gemara leaves this question unresolved. V'chein lo yarok, Rabbi Yehuda amar v'chulei. Okay, and now we go to the second case of the Mishnah and spitting, expectorating. So the Mishnah says that same thing is true. If you are in a Rishus HaYachid and you spit into a Rishus HaRabim, so you are going to be you're going to be chayv on the malacha of Hotza'ah. Just I'll say this as an aside. It's an important aside, but I'll say it as an aside. There is a discussion in halacha in terms of whether or not spitting might also be a violation of the malacha of Zoreh. Zoreh Zayin Vav Resh Hey, right? One of the 39 malachos. So the av malacha, the formal malacha of zara, is winnowing. Another winnowing. You're like, you and I know what winnowing is. But you take the grain that you just cut off, that you just harvested, you throw it in the air, and the wind is going to blow away the chaff, and what's going to come down are now just simply the seeds, the kernels. So that is winnowing, and that is it's like borer. The Gemara in the seventh parak of Shabbos noted it's just like borer. So anyway, so that's the malacha. So when you send something flying into the wind, so that's the malacha of Zorah. So there is a discussion to be had. You're not going to find the discussion here in Talmud Bavli, but there is a discussion to be had regarding whether or not spitting into the wind is considered a malacha violation of the malacha of Zorah. You're going to find that discussion in Talmud Yerushalmi, and then posts can bring it down as a consideration, as a concern. Okay, so I mention it. It's an important aside, but from our standpoint, from the Talmud Bavli, it is an aside. This discussion is not had in the Bavli. Anyway, so just continuing the Gemara. So Afagav de la Hafichba. Now over here, the Gemara is going to be asking a question within the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yehuda says that saliva collects in your mouth now is considered a foreign body, foreign entity. And if I were to walk with that saliva in my mouth for more than 4 amos, so that is being mavir dal amos b'rishus rabim. That's the simple presentation of our Mishnah. That is Shitas Rav Yehuda. The Gemara says vatanan. Yeah, but I don't think that's true for Rav Yehuda. I think for Rav Yehuda it needs to be more than just collected saliva in your mouth. Because let's learn a Mishnah together. Mishnah over here, haya ochel devela biyadaim misu abos. So let's say you're eating a fig, and this fig over here is truma. And so therefore, if you were to touch it with your hands which have not gone through any kind of tahara, no purification in the hands, so the hands now are shein l'tuma. And so if you're to touch it with your hands, so your hands now are going to be posel the truma. Okay, so I guess over here someone else is feeding you, or whatever, you're just eating without your hands. Okay, a little bit strange, but nevertheless, the mission over here is going to make a specific point. And that is, and let's say while you're eating, so then you put your hand into your mouth. Obviously, you shouldn't have done that, but you put your hand into the mouth, little tzor, there was something stuck in your mouth, you had some sort of pebble in your mouth, and Rabbi Meir mitamev Rabbi Yossi mitaher. And so now when you touch the when you touch that fig in your mouth, so machlokis tanayim, whether or not you are now going to be post of the truma. Now it's a funny discussion, right? Of course you're going to be post of the truma, right? You touched it while it was in your mouth. So we know the halacha is that in order for anything to become susceptible to tuma, first has to be mukshir lekabel tuma. And so over here, this fig did not come into contact with any liquid, and so therefore it's not mukshir lekabel tuma. And so here the tanayim are arguing about whether or not the saliva in your mouth is going to be considered a heksher, right? I guess it would fall under the category of mayim. Okay, it would, right? There are seven liquids that are machshir, water being one of them. And right now, the premise over here of this Mishnah is that the water in your mouth has the status of being mayim, and so therefore, it's mukshar once it goes into your mouth. And now, when you stick your finger in your mouth, your sheni l'tuma finger in your mouth, so now the truma is going to be possible. Well, that is the shita Rav Meir. Rav Yossi Matar, Rav Yossi says that it's tahor. So the when the saliva in your is in your mouth, it does not have the status of being a mashke, and so therefore the fig in your mouth is not mukshir lekabel tuma, and so therefore it just simply is not susceptible to tuma. That she does Rabbi Yossi. Okay, all this because we don't right now for our purposes of the daf, we're not interested in the sheet of Rav Meir, we're not interested in the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, but we are interested in the next sheet, which is the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Hipach Batame Lo Hipach Batahor. So Rabbi Yehuda says saliva can be considered a mashke in your mouth, but only hipach ba. Only if it flips in your mouth. Now, not exactly sure what that means, but it means just to have, here's what I do get. If you have saliva in your mouth, and that in of itself is not a mashke. And even if I have collected saliva in your mouth, that also is not a mashke. But if I have a collected saliva in your mouth that you, now literally the words mean turn over, I guess the idea over here is that it coagulated, and it's basically, and you're swishing it around in your mouth, something along those lines. So only at that point in time, I'll stay with the lashon of the Mishnah, hipach ba. So it's an additional step for the saliva in the mouth. Then and only then is it going to be considered a mashke. So what do we see over here? Now we're going to put together the shitas of Rav Yehuda that we learned in that Mishnah. By the way, that's a Mishnah in Kalim. So we're going to take that shita that we just learned at the shita of Rav Yehuda, and we try to match it with the shita over here of Rav Yehuda of our Mishnah, and it's not a match. Because our Rav Yehuda says that once the saliva just simply collects in your mouth, that's now considered a foreign entity. And presumably at that point in time, now it would have the status of being a mashke. Meanwhile, the Mishnah in Kalim says, no, it needs an additional step in your mouth. It's got to turn around in your mouth. It's got to be mahapich in your mouth. Then and only then is it considered a mashke. So I'm Rav Yochanan Mukhlefet Sashita. So Rav Yochanan says, okay, so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to flip around the shitas. Meaning we're going to have to take that mission over there in Kalim and flip around the shita so that we have agreement between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda. Good. So that's Rav Yochanan's shita. And by the way, whenever you have these kinds of inconsistencies between Tanaim, so you will see often throughout Shas, Rav Yochanan is comfortable with the idea of just simply flipping around shitas. Reish Lakish Amar Lo'olam Lo Sachlef. And Reish Lakish is, and I'm not saying this is a general position, although it may be true, but Reish Lakish is not comfortable flipping around shitas, meaning the Nusach of the Mishnah is in fact correct, it's uncorrupted, and so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to find some sort of differentiation between the Mishnah over there in Kalim and our Mishnah over here. And that is V'hach B'mayiskin B'keichel. So over here we're not talking about spit, but rather we're talking about phlegm. So V'hatanya, the Gemara says, I don't know if that's right, because in a Braitha, Rav Yehuda Amar Kichel V'nidlash. So Rav Yehuda says, if it's Kichel V'nidlash. Now V'nidlash, right now the Gemara is assuming Nidlash, is that's a secondary liquid that's being collected in your mouth. Meaning kicho is phlegm, that's clear. I'm thinking about how that could be understood. It just simply means that's phlegm, right? That's what the Mishnah meant. And nitlash is something else, meaning it's spittle, saliva. So my lav rok vinitlash. So the Gemara says, isn't that the way to understand the Mishnah? The Gemara says, no. Lo kicho vinitlash. No, nitlash is actually a modifier. It's modifying the kecho. It's modifying the phlegm, meaning it's phlegm that detached and now is pooling in your mouth. Okay, and that's Rav Yehuda. Okay, good. And now that means to say that once the phlegm now has collected in your mouth, so that phlegm now is considered a foreign entity. That's our Mishnah. Saliva is part and parcel of you. And but saliva by itself, according to Rav Yehuda, is not going to be considered a foreign entity. Only when the saliva not only pools in your mouth, but also it's mahapech, then and only then is the saliva considered a foreign entity, as we learned in the Mishnah in Caleb. So the Gemara says, "Va'atanya." Now we did learn in Breisler. Rav Yehuda Amar Kecho Shenitlash V'Chein Rok O Shenitlash. Alo Yelech Dala Amos Achi Rok. Gemara says, "Okay, look, we tried to defend this position, but meanwhile there is a Breis, and the Breis here says it very clearly. Both when it comes to phlegm and spit. So there, the moment that it collects in your mouth and pulls in your mouth, so it's considered a foreign entity of a separate entity from you." And so therefore, if I were to walk Dalat Amos while having that in your mouth, so one would be chayev on the malacha of being mavir Dalat Amos. So the Gemara says, okay, there's no way around that braisa. Ella, so the Gemara says, machvarta kedashina me'ikara. We're going to have to go back to the previous answer, meaning Rav Yochanan's answer, muchlefes hashita. That's the only way we are really going to be able to present it. And so in order to create agreement between our Mishnah here in Erevin and the Mishnah in Kalim, so we're going to have to say that we're going to have to manipulate those shitas over there, flip around those shitas over there, so that now we have agreement between Rav Yehuda over here and Rav Yehuda of that Mishnah and Caleb. And now the conclusion is that according to Rav Yehuda, once the saliva collects in your mouth, so that's enough. That's enough for it now to be considered a separate entity, and you can't walk to Dalat Amos with that in your mouth. Or also, by the way, you can't go from one rishus to another with that pool of saliva in your mouth. Okay, continuing now with the next Mishnah. Lo yamod adam rishus yachid v'yishte v'rishus harabim. A person cannot stand in a rishus yachid and drink in a rishus harabim. So that means to say that the water currently now is found in a rishus harabim, and you're standing in a rishus yachid, and so what you want to do is you want to lean over into the rishus harabim to drink. So the Mishnah says you can't do that. Bereshus harabim, lamakum bereshus harabim yishev bereshus yachin, and the mirror image as well. You standing in the rishus harabim, the water source happens to be in the rishus yachin, so you can lean over and drink. Elim ken yichdes roshav v'ruba lamakum shu shosa. What you can do is that you can move into the other rishus. Once your head and the majority of your body is in the other rishus, which would then indicate that you're in the other rishus, so then you are allowed to drink from said water, because now you and that water are in the same rishus. But for your head, for your body to be in one rishus, and all you did is just move your head into the other rishus, and to drink in another rishus, so that you're not allowed to do. That's our Mishnah. Now, if you remember back to the beginning of Shir this morning, so now, think about it, so who's the author of that point? The author of that point, presumably, is Rebbe Meir. Meaning, our first Mishnah this morning talked about you standing in one rishus, moving an item in another rishus, within another rishus. So there, the first Mishnah today was comfortable with that. The Gemara noted that Rav Meir is not comfortable with that. So over here, we have this Mishnah. Presumably, this Mishnah is Rav Meir. When we get to the Gemara in just a moment, we're going to validate that line of thinking. V'chein begas. And then the Mishnah ends with two words, and that is that the same thing would be true regarding a vat of wine. What does that mean? Was that coming to introduce? So stay tuned. In just a moment, we're going to clarify that point. Reisha Rabbanu v'Sefer Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara over here is asking a question. So the first Mishnah is going like the Shita of the Chachamim, as we just described, meaning the first Mishnah, the one we start off Shir this morning. The Mishnah, Omid Adam Rishos Yachim, Metalta Rishos Rabbim, standing in one Rishos, manipulating an item within another Rishos. So for the first Mishnah, said that's fine, the Shita is Chachamim. Meanwhile, our Mishnah over here is not comfortable with that idea, meaning it's a different scenario, but it's the same basic idea. you're staying in one Rishus, you're drinking in another Rishus. So fine. So now that means to say that the first Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, our Mishnah over here is going like Rameir, and the Gemara is bothered by that. Meaning we didn't see the transition point, right? If you were to just read the Mishnahs without the Gemara, so now the Mishnahs are transitioning without giving any indication that we move from the Shita of the Chachamim to the Shita of Rameir. And so if our Mishnah introduced that this is the Shita of Rameir, that'd be great, but it didn't. So it's a little bit strange that the Mishnayos are transitioning from one Shita to another. Okay, so it bothers the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yosef, Bechafetim Shetzirchim Lo V'Divrei HaKol. So Rav Yosef says that, well, our Mishnah is not talking about where you're drinking the water just simply from your mouth or with your mouth. Because if in fact that were the case, so the Chachamim would be fine with that, much like the Chachamim were fine earlier this morning with moving an item while standing on one Rishus, moving an item within another Rishus. Okay, so but that's not our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about where you're collecting the water with an object, meaning you have a cup, and now you are collecting the water in a cup. So that you're not allowed to do, because now once you're introducing a cup, so now easily you could see the problem, which is that you're going to transfer the cup back into your Rishus, meaning you're standing in the Rishus Yachid, and you're bringing the cup now, well, to bring the cup out to the Rishus Rabim, that's categorically forbidden. But let's say the cup was already out there. The cup was right next to the to that little body of water in the Rishus HaRabim. So what you're going to now do is that you're going to lean over, take the cup, fill it with water, and drink from the cup. So now, the Chachamim said, now you're playing with fire. Because now, it's very possible that you're going to bring the cup back into the Rishus that you're standing in. If we're talking about where there was no cup, so then, what's the concern? Right? Once the water goes into your mouth, that's it. Meaning we don't view the water when it goes from your mouth into your stomach now as a transfer. Meaning no, that's it. Transfer is done, and that isn't a transfer because the water is in one rishus and your mouth is in the same rishus. So there, the Chachamim would be fine with that. But once you're introducing a cup, then the Chachamim say under those circumstances we are concerned. Ibailahu karmelis mai. Gemara's question now goes as follows. Okay, so in our Mishnah, it says that you can't be standing in one Rishus, leaning over to drink from another Rishus, and it is prohibited. And the Gemara just introduced the detail, which is that our Mishnah is talking about where a cup is involved. But anyway, our Mishnah says it's prohibited. What if it is two different Rishuyos, but one's a Rishus Yach and the other's a Karmelis? Or one's a Rishus Rabim and the other's a Karmelis? Whereby if I were to transfer, it'd be an Issa de Rabbanan. So, but I'm not transferring, I'm just leaning over. So under those circumstances, are we going to be able to be Mekel? That's the Gemara's question. So Ibailu, Karmelis, my Amar Abai, hee. So Abai says, no, same concern. And Amar Rava, now probably you're thinking more in lines, I'm thinking more in lines like Rava. Amar Rava, so he gufag zera. Well, what do you mean? Even if I actually did transfer from a Rishus Yachid to a Karmelis, or a Rishus Rabim to a Karmelis, even if I did transfer, it'd be an Issa de Rabbanan. We're only talking about an Issa de Rabbanan. And now, and which in of itself already is a gzera. And so now, if I just lean over into it and drink in that other rishus, and now you're worried that I'm gonna bring my head back, thereby transferring the item while the item is in my mouth. So that now would be a gzera l'gzera. The ingo is a gzera l'gzera. Good. That's the shita of Rava. And obviously, that sounds like a very strong argument. Although, to be fair, already in this Masechta, a number of times we saw Gemaras that seemingly compound one gzera on top of another gzera. But over here, Rava's argument, based on the general rule of ain goes in gzera like gzera, is very well said. As far as defending Abaye, so the Gemara is going to go over Mishnayos, which are, you know, seemingly going to side one way or another, but the Gemara doesn't explain the Shita of Abaye, meaning, why isn't Abaye say that this is a gzera like gzera? Okay, and that's a tough question, and I'm not sure if I have a canned answer prepared, but the Gemara, we're going to continue in the Gemara. So, Amar Abaye Mena Amina Lama Deitan. Now, Abaye says, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah, because I think our Mishnah supports my position, that even if it were Karmelis, it would be Aser. How do I know that? Because look at the Mishnah, V'chein Begasas, we turn to the Amud Beis. The Mishnah says the same thing is true regarding a vat. Now, seemingly, the Mishnah over here is still talking about the issue of transferring, and seemingly, the Mishnah is teaching us that the The Mishnah is teaching us that in a similar circumstance, it would be prohibited to lean over. Now, it can't be that the vat is just simply another example of transfer or possible transfer from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabim, because then the Mishnah is not adding a point. So what Abai is going to argue now, what he is arguing, is that the case of the Gass is that the Gass is a karmelus. Okay, it is 4x4 less than 10 tfachim. It is a karmelus. Okay, it's a little bit strange, by the way. We had a Tosfos towards the beginning of Masechta Shabbos that says that kalim cannot become a karmelus. Okay, so, and maybe we'll have to say that the gas is in the ground, and therefore it's not a kli. Okay, so, sorry for sharing all of my thoughts right now. Anyway, so but that's what Abai is assuming, that the gas is a karmelus, and so it's a transfer from a Rishos Yachid to a karmelus, and the Mishnah is telling us that also is prohibited. And that would be a support for Abai. Our Rava would say, you didn't understand the Mishnah correctly. That when the Mishnah says v'chem begas, the Mishnah is not telling us another halacha regarding hotza'ah. Actually, it has nothing to do with hotza'ah. It's just that if I did a similar posture where I leaned over, so it would be prohibited in another area of halacha. What's the other area of halacha? So it's going to be regarding meiser, trumas and meisros. So just as a quick background, so we know that when trumas and meisros, so when you collect grapes and olives and grains, so mina Torah, so it's chayv and trumas and maestros. So according to Rashi and Tosfos, the other produce as well, other fruits as well, are also going to be chayv and trumas and maestros. Vegetables are not. Vegetables are chayv midrabanan, according to Rashi and Tosfos, or other fruits. Anyway, over here we're talking about grapes and wine. So according to everybody, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to be mafri trumas and maestros. Now, when is the chayv and trumas and maestros? The moment I pick it off the ground? The answer is no. The moment you pick it off the ground, it's not chayv and trumas and maestros. It's got to go through the processing. And only at the gemar, only at the conclusion of the processing, then and only then is it going to be even chayv in trumas and maestros. And so, prior to that point in time, when it's not yet chayv and trumas and maestros, so you're allowed to snack on these grapes and olives and grains. The Achilas Sarai would be mutter before the Gemar Pri, not the Gemar Pri, but before the Gemar Malacha, before the processing of it has been concluded. And so what we're discussing over here is the following. What is considered Achilas Sarai? And that's what our Mishnah is making reference to. So the Rava Amar Linyan Meiser V'chein Amar Rav Sheshes V'chein Begas Linyan Meiser. And Rav Sheshes also says a similar pshat. That's talking about Linyan Meiser. And the Gemara clarifies, Ditnan, here we have a Mishnah in Maestros, shows an al hagas, that one can drink while over the gas, meaning that if you are over the vat, that is considered achilas arai, but you have to be over the vat. Bein b'chamim bein b'tzonein. So, upater divrei Rebbe Meir. And there's no obligation to take off trumas and maestros because that's achilas arai. Tzonein chamim, cold and hot, what is that making a reference to? So that's what we're making reference to, the water you're using in order to dilute the wine. Back in the day, they didn't drink wine straight. They diluted it with water. Sometimes warm water, sometimes cold water. So according to Rameir, it doesn't matter. That's considered achilas arai. And Rabbi Eliezer Bird, Sadok Mechayev, he says that you're chayev, meaning that's not considered achilas arai, even though your head is over the vat. V'chachamim omrim, alachamim chayev alatzonim potter, mimneishim achzor samosar. So if you diluted it with hot water, so you're going to be chayev, to be mafresh trumas and maestros. If you dilute it with cold water, so then you're going to be potter. Now, what is the difference between diluting it with hot water and cold water? So Rashi over here explains that when you dilute it with hot water, so that means to say now that you know for sure you're not returning it to the vat. Because if you were to take that hot water and put it back into the vat, so that's going to really disturb the fermentation process and disrupt it. And you wouldn't do it. So that means to say now at this point in time, you know for sure that this is not snacking because it's a non-returnable item back to the vat. And therefore, you're going to be chayv in hafrashat trumas and maestros before you're able to drink it. On the other hand, if it's cold, if you dilute it with cold, so then there is a possibility you're going to return it to the vat. And so it still falls under the category of achilas arai, not achilas keva. So anyway, but with all that stated, so what we're learning in our Mishnah over here, v'chein begas, is that when our Mishnah says that you can't lean over the vat in order to drink from it, It has nothing to do with Hotzah. It has to do with whether or not it qualifies as Achilas Keva or Achilas Arai. So and the Shita of our Mishnah that says that when you lean over you can't do it, so that's going to be consistent with the Shita of Rab Meir that we just saw in the Mishnah Maisras. Fine. That's the whole point of our Mishnah over here, and has nothing to do with Otsah. So now this basically it eliminates the proof according to Abai. Abai wanted to use this as the proof for his position that not only is it true for a Rishus HaRambam, it's also true for a Karmelis as well, because that's what the V'chein Bagas is making reference to. And the counterpoint of the Gemara is, nah, it's not talking about the Halacha of Otsah, it's talking about whether or not it is in fact a Achilas Arai. Okay. Continuing in the Mishnah, Kol Eid Adam, Min HaMazchela Lemata Miyutvachim, Min HaTzinur Mikom HaKom Shoseh. So a person can capture water from the gutter. Rashi over here, let's take a look at this Rashi. In the beginning of the Mishnah, where he gives details in terms of what gutters looked like back in the day, right? In order to appreciate the Mishnah and to understand the Mishnah, so we need to have a good visual picture of what a gutter looked like back in the day. Rashi writes over here, Gagin Shalahem, first Rashi in the Mishnah, right? Lamata Miutfachim, right? You're collecting the water from under 10 Tfachim. We'll talk about the significance of that in just a moment. But anyway, Rashi writes, Gagin Shalahem Chalakim Hayu. So their rooftops were smooth. There was flat rooftops. We've gone over this point numerous times. The slanted rooftop that is obviously popular in our day was very unpopular back in the day. It was flat rooftops. V'tachim betit. And what they would do is they would put some sort of pitch on the top of the roof so that obviously the roof wouldn't leak. Omar zevim ketanim. Harbe hayu lagag. And so there was a lot of drains, a lot of gutters. That surrounded it, and you needed somewhere for the water to go, right? My best guess would be, as if I knew anything about construction, is that probably it was put on some sort of slant in order so that the water would run off. But anyway, there were gutters all around in order to collect the water. So lahotzi hamayim v'nosnin lemata mehem daf keneged orech hakosel, and what they would do. Is that they would have these gutters, and the gutters would flow into some sort of board that was below them, keneged orech hakosel, that ran along the walls of the wall, bishipua, obviously at an incline, so that the water would run off. V'chol amar zevim shofkim alav. So basically, the gutters would now all send the water to one drain, right? One, it was some sort of apparatus that existed on the side of the house. And then v'hu mevi kol ha'mayim l'makom echad. And then what that drain pipe would do, is it would send the water far away from the house, shelo yiziku zakosel, so that it won't damage the wall. Good. So that is some description. Obviously, a picture over here would be even better. But that's some description of the gutters they had back in the day. And Rashi continues. Now, where are you standing? You're standing in a Rishos HaRabim v'kolet v'kli lamatam yutfachim. And you're capturing the water in a kli that is below 10 tfachim. So is that a transfer? So as we're going to learn in just a moment in Rashi, the answer is no. It's not a transfer. Because you're standing in Rishos HaRabim, the kli that you are holding is under 10 tfachim, which means that the kli is in the Rishos HaRabim. The water stored on the rooftop. Yeah, but we're not going to call the water a Rishus HaYachid. Yes, it's true the water passes through a Rishus HaYachid, but that doesn't give the water the status of Rishus HaYachid. Rashi continues. I'm just backing up one line. V'omid adam Rishus HaRabim v'kolet b'kli lamatim yutvachim min ha-mayim ha-yordim min ha-mazchela v'kolet dafka kidim mefarish b'gemara. So what you're allowed to do is that you're allowed to not hold the kli up to the gutter, but basically hold the kli where the water now is pouring off the gutter. As long as you're standing in Rishus HaRabim, the kli that you're holding is within 10 tfachim of the ground. So that in of itself would be fine. Aval lo yitzaref piv o kli lamazchela shubapachus mishosho samoch lagag. But here's what you can't do, explains Rashi. You can't put the kli or your mouth, right? Doesn't sound that appetizing, but you can't put your kli or the mouth right at the mouth of the gutter. That you can't do. Why? because generally the gutters were within three tochim of the rooftop. The afa pishu hu lamata miyud, and even though the gutters may be below 10 tefachim, now that's a really low roof, so that part's a little bit tricky. But even if the gutter was under 10 tefachim, you still can't do that. My time of the hoel umetels the orecha kosel ubesoch gimel agag damya lagag. So Rashi writes over here, since it is proximate of within the rooftop of three tefachim, it is similar to the rooftop. And that is like being motzi from Rishus Yechel to Rishus Rabim. The language of Rashi certainly would indicate that this isn't formal hotza'ah, because again, just because the rain was on the roof doesn't mean that the water was a Rishus Yechel. It doesn't have the status of Rishus Yechel, but being that you are so proximate to the gutter, and the gutter is so proximate to the roof, so we're gonna look at it as if it has the status of the roof, and it's ki'ilu you're transferring from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabin. Okay, that is all the case of the gutter. The second case of the Mishnah, so that's the case of from the tzinor. The tzinor over here is the drain pipe. So as far as the drain pipe is concerned, that's already at a distance from the house. And so what the Mishnah says, it's no problem. And Rashi, right, I'd like to read the next Rashi, but I'm also looking at the time right now. So the Rashi over here says that because now it's at a distance from the house, it no longer has this concern of looking like a Rishus Yachid, and so therefore would be fine under all circumstances. And you can put the kli or your mouth right up against the drain pipe. Okay, with that stated, we're going to quickly run through the Gemara. Kolid in aval mitzarif lo. Okay, so the Gemara we're going to run through because we basically saw it all in Rashi. Rashi presented it clearly. So, but you can only collect the water right as it's running off of the roof, but you can't put your mouth or the kli right up against the gutter. So, Amrav Nachman Hacha b'maschel apachus migimel samach l'gag askinan. It's because the gutter is within three tefachim of the rooftop. V'chol pachus migimel samach l'gag ki gag dami. So it's like the rooftop. So Tanya Me'ach, the Gemara says same thing we learned in the Braisa. Omin adam b'rishus yachid magbi adam lamala me'asar tefachim. So a person can be standing in a rishus yachid and lifting his hand up above ten tefachim l'pachus mishosh samach l'gag and be within three tefachim of the rooftop. V'kolate and you could be kolate. I mean, and capture the water as it's coming down. But you can't put your mouth right up against the gutter, because then that looks like a transfer. Tanya Yidach, we learned in another brisa, lo yamarad b'rishus yachid. B'rishus yachid, person cannot be standing in b'rishus yachid. V'yagbiya yado lamala mi'asar tefachim, putting your hand above ten tefachim lepachos migimol samach legag, and right up against the gutter. Three tefachim within the gag, v'yitzaref, and collect the water, right, while being so proximate to the gutter. Because once again, it looks like you're transferring. Avakolate hu v'shosa. But the running off water, and now you're collecting the running off water, and you're not proximate to the gutter, so there's no problem with it whatsoever. Because once again, the water itself does not have its own rishus, and you're within a rishus yachid, it's no problem whatsoever, it's fine. Amin atzinor maim shosa. Now the drain pipe would be fine. Tana, here the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Im yesh betzinor dala dala, also mishu kemotzim rishus. Ah, if the drain pipe is a makom dala dala, so the drain pipe now is a makom dala dala. So now it is its own rishus. Now that's the problem, because now if you're standing in a rishus harabim or rishus yachid, but if you're standing in a rishus harabim and you collect, well, okay, let me keep it simple. You're standing in a Rishus HaRabim, right? Take out the or Rishus HaYachid. So you're standing in Rishus HaRabim and you're collecting now from the drain pipe. So the drain pipe now that's holding the water, so if it's a Makam Dala Adala, so now it's its own Rishus. Now it may be a Rishus HaYachid or it may be a Karmelus, but either way, it's its own Rishus now. It's no longer a Makam Pater. And so now you can't be collecting it for while standing in a Rishus HaRabim, because now you're making a transfer from one Rishus into another Rishus. So at this drain pipe, you have to take into consideration. Although it's no longer considered connected to the house, because it's at a distance from the house once it leaves the gutter and enters into this drain pipe, but if the drain pipe itself is a makom dala dalid, so now it qualifies as a rishus, and transferring from it to Rishus Rabim would be a violation. Maybe a Issa D'Oraisa, but in the very least an Issa D'Rabbanan. Okay. We're going to stop over here. We'll do the next. We'll start with the Mishnah board tomorrow morning, and let's quickly recap our daf. Our daf started off with the allowance to stand in one rishus and move an item within another rishus, and there's no concern that you're going to take that item and bring it into the rishus that you're standing in. Good. So that was the first case of the Mishnah. Second case of the Mishnah is urinating or expectorating from one rishus to the other, which the Mishnah says is prohibited. As far as the first psak of our Mishnah, the Gemara noted that it's going like the Chachamim, not like Shittas Rabbi Meir. On Daf Kuf Aleph, we're going to see, we're going to be introduced to the Shittas of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir makes a gzera under those circumstances. Because once you're manipulating an item in another Rishus, so there is a good chance, that you're going to be bringing the item into the Rishus that you're standing in and violating a transfer of Rishuyas. And the Chachamim are not worried about that. And so our Mishnah is not going like Shittas Rabbi Meir. Taking an item, moving it, Dal Amos Rishus Rabim is going to be Chayev, even if it goes into a Makom Pater at some time during the interim of that transfer. So that's the simple reading of our Mishnah. It coordinates with the Shittas of Rava, which we saw already a couple of times. Your Mavir Dal Amos, you move an item in Dal Amos Ve'eviru Derech Alav, and you bring it over your head, which necessarily goes through a Makom Pater. So that is an Isser D'Oraisa, says Rava, and our Mishnah would seemingly support that, although the Gemara didn't have a little back and forth on whether or not our Mishnah is for sure going to be a support. Urinating. What if you urinate from one rishus to another? Our Mishnah says it's Aser. The Gemara the Gemara says that it's an Isser D'Oraisa. Kira Hanacha has to be from a Makom Dalid. So any place that you deem significant is a makam chashuv, and therefore does not have to be a makam dalal al dalal. Okay. The Gemara talked a little bit about expectorating in the sheet of Rav Yehuda. Saliva collecting in your mouth. So the Rav Yehuda says it's considered a foreign entity. And therefore, if I walk dalal amos or transfer while the saliva is pooled in your mouth, that already is going to be an iser of hotzah or being mavir. So the Gemara tries to create agreement between our Mishnah over here and the Mishnah in Kalim. Mishnah in Kalim would seem to indicate that according to Rav Meir, it's not enough for saliva to just collect in your mouth, but it also needs to be mahapech. You have to turn around in your mouth. Not really clear what that meant, but it needs another step before it's considered a foreign entity. And that doesn't sound like our Mishnah, and the Amoraim, Rav Yochanan, and Reish Lakish try to create agreement between them. Only now do I realize that I skipped four lines of the Gemara. Okay? I'm going back to Sadi Tesamad Aleph. Okay. The downside of not doing the daf live. Anyway, Amar Reish Lakish. Okay. I see what I skipped. Okay? Sadi Tesamad Aleph. Amar Reish Lakish. So, Kiach Bifnei Rabbo. If you spit in front of your Rebbe, Chayv Misa. So, you're going to be Chayv Misa. Misa Bidei Shemaim, obviously. Shenemer Kol Masni'ei. Ahavo Mavis. Anyone who hates me loves death, right? Simple pshat in the pasuk of Mishlei. The Gemara reads it a little bit differently. Al tikre lemasnie ela lemasnie, right? I probably mispronounced it the first time, but anyway, vaha minus anis. So kiach virak ka'amrinan. The Gemara says, wait one second. You spit in front of your Rebbe. Sometimes you can. Sometimes the saliva collects in your mouth, and sometimes you're an ones. So the Gemara says, yeah. So that's true. In other words, but if you go out of your way in order to accumulate some saliva in your mouth in order to spit in front of your Rebbe, so that is a Chilul Hashem. That's somebody who causes hatred towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and so therefore you're Oev Mavis, somebody who loves death. You're Chayv Misa if you do so. Such a disrespectful act. Okay. I'm sorry I missed it the first round. Anyway, good. I'm glad I reviewed. Anyway, the Mishnah. Mishnah in the bottom, Sadi Testament Aleph. Drinking, standing in one rishus, drinking in another rishus. So the Mishnah says you can't do it, and the Gemara's observation is that it seems to be like Reb Meir, not like the Shita of the Chachamim. Gemara says not necessarily. It could be going like the Shita of the Chachamim. It's talking about where there's a kli involved. You're not just simply drinking the water in another rishus, but you are collecting in a cup. And there the Chachamim are concerned that you're going to bring the cup, transfer the cup back to the rishus that you're standing in. What if you are doing this maneuver of moving over into not a Rishus HaRabim to drink, but into a Carmelis? Is that going to be an us? Is that going to be an Isser? Does Xer extend over there? Abai says yes, it does. Rava says no, it doesn't. And the Gemara is back and forth between Abai and Rava. The last words of the Mishnah V'chein Begas, what is that talking about? So Rava and Rav Sheshit both say that it's not talking about Hotzah, but it's rather talking about Harfarshas Trumas HaMaisos, Achilas Arai. If I put my head over the vat to drink from the wine, is that considered Achilas Arai? So our Mishnah is telling us that it is going to be prohibited as per the Shita of Rebbe Meir that we learned in the Mishnah in Maisros, fourth parak of Maisros. And finally, collecting water from the gutter of the rooftop. So if the runoff, you're allowed to collect, but to put your kli or the mouth right by the gutter, where the gutter is within three tvachim of the house, you're not allowed to do while you're standing in a Rishus HaRabim. Because that would be, it looks like you're transferring from Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaRabim. Right? The water is not really Rishus HaYachid, the water is just running off the roof. But nevertheless, being that the gutter is so close to the rooftop, and your mouth is so close to the gutter, so it's ki'ilu, it looks like you are transferring from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim. Once the water is running off, so then that water you're allowed to collect. And now as far as the drain pipe is concerned, so there you can collect from the drain pipe, even directly from the drain pipe. Meaning because the drain pipe is so far removed from the house, the only consideration the Gemara told us at the end is that if the drain pipe is makam dalad al dalad, so then the drain pipe is its own individual rishus, and then obviously under those circumstances, you have a iser of being motzi from one rishus into another rishus.